We'd like to greet you this evening in Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus. We also want to greet you from Shalom Bible Fellowship. It's and thank you, Leonard, for that prayer. I think we take a lot of things for granted in life, and we need God. One of my favorite sayings that I say a lot, and that is, God is everything. And I do that with my customers. I tell them that God is everything, because if you do not have God, you have nothing. And we can easily see that in the society that we live in. We're trying to take God out of everything, and they're going to end up with nothing. So we as God's children want to reflect the kingdom of God. And when Leonard asked me about sharing, I was brought to attention that we as Shalom are trying to go over we have what you call a draft that we're putting together, and we want to go over our values, our vision, our mission. And in one of these portions, it says we need to find out what's intentional living. And we gave a list here of intentional youth, intentional courtship, intentional weddings, intentional marriage, intentional child training, intentional grandparenting. There's the list goes on. But that brought me to, I'm using you as a guinea pig congregation, because I didn't share this at our congregation yet. And so I thought, well, hopefully you can give me some pointers if I say something that's out of order, or you can tell me I should emphasize something better or whatever. So you can be my critics tonight. Anyway, and the title that I'd like to give, it could be twofold. It says, what is intentional Christianity? Or what is an intentional Christian? And I like to ask this question, and that is, am I an intentional Christian? And I think that's why we need to go to the Bible. And I was realizing that intentional is not in the scripture. But if you look at the word intentional, it's done with purpose. Intentional is something that is voluntary. You want to do it. This is your desire. It's intentional. It's something that you're willing to do. It's not something you're forced to do. It's in you. And I love the book of Proverbs, and I'd like to read a couple of verses here that help me realize where intentional is. And Proverbs chapter 14, I'm going to read two verses here in 8 and 9. Says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock of sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Now, with that being said, this word prudent is the same thing as intentional. A person who is prudent is someone who is showing care and thought of the future. And that is what an intentional Christian is. Someone who's thinking ahead, who's someone who sees the future, and it's not just about here and now, but it's beyond here and now. So I'm going to read a couple of verses here, but think about it. I'll read that again. The wisdom of the intentional is to understand his way. You can interchange that word just to give you an insight. Then in verse 15, it says, the simple believe every word, but the intentional man looketh well to his going. If you go to 18, it says, the simple inherit folly, but the intentional are crowned with knowledge. We go to 15, verse 5, it says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is intentional. So I love listening to Proverbs. I'm a farmer, and when I gather eggs, I often have the scripture reading going on, and it's filling. It's very good. Then there's in 16, verse 21, it reads like this. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, or the wise in heart shall be called intentional, and the sweetness of the lips increase learning. I'm giving that just as a foundation from the standpoint of what intentional is from a scripture standpoint. I would like if you would you could turn to Acts. This is the beginning of the church era. And in Acts 11, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. Before I go into that, I'd like to read something here that I wrote down this afternoon. It says, the world tells us to live intentionally. The world tells us that. Live intentionally. And that means you work hard. You create a life that you want. It's you put your wish list together. You land a perfect job. You work hard. And as you do that, the potential is for you to burn out, get frustrated, no matter how hard you work. Because this is what I want you to remember. You cannot live intentionally without putting God first. You cannot live intentionally without putting God first. And I would like to say this. You know, some of you here look at me, probably I'm an old man, probably to some of you. And I have to say, in my short lifetime, I look back and I see the hand of God moving in my life. And what I'm driving at is, it is very, very important to choose God early. It's very important. And the only way, I look back and I need to thank God for my parents. I need to thank God for my grandparents. I know that my grandmother was a bishop's wife in Lancaster Conference. And she prayed for us regularly. And I really think, looking back, because we were pretty wild when we were young. And I have to admit, I thank God for my grandmother. I wish I could tell her, and someday I want to, because she loved us so much. She just indoctrinated us. And one thing she indoctrinated me in and was Proverbs. She says, God hates a lying tongue. And as I've gotten older, I realize there's three words that I think if we would all live by, it would solve a lot of problems. And these three words are be honest, be humble, and be holy. And each one of those words is a message. And because when you're not honest, you're not going to see who you are and how great God is. And if you're not honest, you're not going to be able to go forward in life and be an asset to God's kingdom or to your neighbors or to your family or anybody. But when you see yourself and you see how great God is, that automatically helps you to be humble because you see you're not worthy. And when you see all that God has done for you as far as providing salvation, providing life, then your desire is to obey him, and that's be holy. Follow his word. Anyway, coming to Acts chapter 11, I'd like to begin reading here at I think it's going to be verse 19. Now they which are scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose from Stephen travailed as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and a great number believed, turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, and he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much of the people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought unto him Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the churches and taught much people, and the disciples were there called Christians first in Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Because they were Christ-like. And that's where they were called. So, you know, to be a Christian, we have to be Christ-like. And the thing that stands out to me also is here in verse 23, it says, and with purpose of heart. So with intention, intentional, they were purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. Now, stepping down to this word, Lord, I'd like to ask you this question. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? If Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, I use acronyms a fair amount. I tell people it's because I'm lazy. But the Lord, when a person is Lord of your life, L, Jesus is your leader. He is your leader if he is Lord of your life. If Jesus is Lord of your life, O, he is your organizer. You let him control what happens in your life. And if Jesus is Lord of your life, R, he's your redeemer. He has brought you back to a relationship with God the Father because of what he's done on the cross. And if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, he is D, he is your deliverer. And the redeemer is something that he has done, but the deliverer is something he's doing now. In other words, we're not perfect. We can fall. We can falter. But God will deliver us if we call upon him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. And he will deliver you through that struggle. So the question I need to ask is Jesus Lord of your life? Now, I have an illustration here that all illustrations have their, what you call, they're not perfect. But both of these are, I don't drink a lot of soda, by the way, but these are soda cans. They're vessels, like was mentioned. We are all vessels. And the question is, they look the same, everything, you know, you would say they're good, right? They're both vessels, perfect vessels. But the difference is, the one is filled and the other is not. The one is empty. The person who's filled is intentional. They have filled themselves with Jesus Christ, and they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And an empty can represents someone who, they don't know what they're doing in life. And I'm not sure how it was with you, but when I was 13, I had a lot of questions. What was life all about? Why am I here? And the answers I found were in the Word. We're here to glorify God. That's why we're here, because God created us. And we're here to help other people find that relationship as well. That's a purpose. Anyway, I brought this along because I didn't know what kind of carpet you had here. But anyway, in life, Satan likes to put pressure on. He likes to come at you at different angles and say, you know, hey, I got you here. You know, you failed here. You did this. And, you know, so when you are under a lot of pressure and you don't have something that you're being filled with, this is what happens when pressures come in, frustrations come in. You end up kind of crushed. But I'd like to show you this. If you have Jesus Christ in your life and you're sealed with the Spirit, you don't get crushed. Amen. And the key is you have an intentional life. You're filled with Jesus Christ. And we would like to look at that, some practical areas on how we can be intentional with Jesus Christ. We have a choice to be either filled with Jesus Christ and sealed with His Spirit, or be filled with yourself, which is nothing, which is empty. I would say, if we're filled with Jesus Christ, now, all illustrations have their weaknesses. And I was thinking of that. If that seal would be broken, we'd have a mess up here. And the question you need to ask yourself, how do I fill myself? How do I seal myself so that the world's pressures do not hurt me? And we'd like to look at that here. Before that, I told you I'm an acronym person. And I share this with the congregation a lot. They probably get tired of it. But God wants intentional children. And they need to be real. This was brought to my attention when Abner Kaufman passed away, and they asked me to moderate. And Abner was a real Christian. He was a real Christian. And I think every one of us need to have these characteristics if we want to be intentional for God. R-E-A-L. A person who is a real Christian has repented of their sin. E, they have emptied themselves. The self is out the door. They're empty of themselves. A real Christian is always putting God first. I remember many times in a brother's meeting, Abner would say, well, what would God think about this? And that's a question that we should ask every day. And that is, what does God think about this? Where's God in this picture? What would he think about it? Not what does Shalom think, or not what does Harmony think, but what does God think? And that is very important to be a real Christian. And the last one, L, you have to love everyone. That's a real Christian. And that means loving your enemies, loving those that hurt you, etc. So, a real Christian. Another thing that God loves, he loves fat children. And I'm not here to promote obesity by no means, but God loves fat children. And these are the three, F-A-T. God wants his children to be faithful. He wants his children to be available. And he wants his children to be teachable. So if we are real Christians and we are fat children for God, we'll be all right. We'll come through. Anyway, so being intentional means making a deliberate choice to reflect what is most important to us. I've met a lot of people in life who say, I don't have time. And when I was younger, I began to realize, you know, as I get older, it seems like time goes faster. Maybe it's just because of my age. But we all have the same amount of hours in a day. And when you say you don't have time for it, that tells me it's not in your important list. So if you want to be intentional with God, you're going to have to take time for things that really matter. And we have to reflect what is most important to us, making daily choices to glorify God through our lives. So what does intentional Christian living look like? If you would, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In other words, we need to be filled with Jesus, like we said here. We need to be filled with Jesus Christ. And he said he is the Word. So you need to fill yourself up with the Word of God. If you want to be filled with Jesus, Fill yourself up with the Word of God. So the question is, do I take time to read the Bible? Do I take time to fill myself up with truth? The next practical thing is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And the question I have is, how often do you pray? When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you should do is thank God for that day, or thank God for the good night's rest, or thank God. It reminds me of a young fellow who was getting married, and he called me. He said, "Johnny," he said, "what am I going to do?" He said, "to keep my wife from becoming an idol." And I said, you're afraid your wife's going to become an idol? "Oh, yeah, I really think a lot of her." And I said, "well, let me tell you what I do." I said, "every day I thank God for my wife. Because, number one, she's a gift that God has given me. And I said, by doing that, I acknowledge God is greatest above all, and I keep my wife in a place that is a gift from God." So thank God for your companion. Thank God for your children. Thank God for a brotherhood. You know, we need to have that. So pray without ceasing. We have power in prayer. In Galatians 5, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. In Galatians 5, I'm going to begin reading at 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." I'm going to jump down to 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Verse 25, it's after being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I see there's three things here that are temptations for God's children. And that is, we want to be seen. We want to be elevated. Or the next one is just being a contentious person trying to agitate the pot. I mean, I know people that I wish they would change their mentality, but they like to just stir the pot. And they might not even agree with that, but they just like to stir it and get people all fussed up. And the last one was they envy one another. You're jealous. And those are things that even if you have Jesus Christ in your life, these are temptations that we have to avoid. We have to get away from, stay clear of, because we need to be filled with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not have that. All right. Then Ephesians 5. I would like to read some verses here. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 8. "For you were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." practical side, redeem the time. How? The way we can redeem time is we can help others find the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We can redeem our time that way. We can redeem our time by studying the Word. You know, study to show thyself to prove unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing songs. Sing, it says here, spiritual songs. The world has songs too. But those songs can eat into your thinking and harm you. We need to have spiritual songs on our mind so that God can be glorified. So we can be filled. The other thing that is give thanks. Those that know me, I thank God for every day. I have a business, and I was talking to a salesman one Monday morning, and he said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Well, thank God for Monday." And this phone got silent. And then he said, "Did you have a bad weekend?" I said, "No, I didn't have a bad weekend. I had a good weekend." And he said, "Well, why do you say thank God for Monday?" He said, "Everybody says that for Friday." Well, I said, it's like this. Number one, I woke up to see it. Not everybody did. And I said, number two, it's a gift that God has given me, and I'm hoping to be able to give him the glory for it. And to me, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, by saying that, it helps reminding me who's in charge, who's in control, who am I serving? It's God. Remember, God is everything. So anyway, an attitude of gratitude will give you altitude in life. And the last thing was to be submitting one to another. Be humble, not contentious. I repeat, may God help us be honest, humble, and holy. To be intentional for God, we have to have the purpose that we're here to give glory to God. We're here, and the thing that we want to always remember is, what does God think? And the question is, what are you filling yourself up with? Are you filling yourself up with Jesus Christ, his word, with prayer? Are you being sealed every day, asking God to help you, to protect you, to guide you, direct you? I could tell you story after story of my prayer life from the standpoint of asking God to help me through the day. And after the day has passed, I reflect, and I'm thinking, wow, God took care of this. God did this to make this happen so I could have this. And God's real. And I would like to tell you that God is on the throne. The world seems to be pressuring us to think that all this evil is abounding, etc. And I'm not saying it's not. But I am telling you this, that God's on the throne. He has no plans on getting off. And he will win. He will reign. And the question is, are you going to be with him? Are you going to be filling yourself up with Jesus Christ? Are you going to be intentional in your choices that you make this week or in your life so that God can receive the glory and you can find satisfaction, fulfillment, and it's a blessed life. So may God help us to reflect him in every way. And my prayer is that you will be intentional for God. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again to thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the truths that you have given to us in so many forms. We pray that as your word went out this evening, that it would touch the needs and the hearts of everyone, that would help them to realize to be intentional for you, and that they would fill themselves up with Jesus Christ, and that each one of us would be faithful, and we would be just a true reflection of your kingdom. And we know, Father, that we all need help, and we just pray that you might lead us by your Spirit and help us to know that you have a purpose and a plan in everything. We thank you, Father, for this congregation. We pray for the servant team. We pray you might bless them as they lead out. We also pray for each person here, that you would help each one to find a closer walk with you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.